Welcome everybody to Hidden Guardians Podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. Today we're just going to kind of talk about a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's the end of the year winging it session. We do have a new dungeon out, Warlord's Ruin in Destiny 2. And we're going to chat about that. I personally think it's amazing. I like it a lot.
Same. I think it's very good.
Oh, yeah. We got the Dawning going. A little bit about that. And then, you know, some other stuff. And there's, like, other games out there. You know, just things. Trying to keep it light and breezy here. And just have a good time before the holidays in a week. I'm Outrider. I'm joined by Venge. How's it going, buddy? How's everything been?
I'm still kind of sick, but I'm alive, so we out here.
Yeah. It's just cold, or is it something worse?
I think I ended up getting a little bit of a minor flu.
Ooh.
So
that's no fun. That's no fun. All right, so
bad enough I had to miss some work.
Nah, well, we'll have you lead off and like cover the entire podcast. I'll sit here quietly so you can like
perfect
force your sick ass through.
let's wipe my voice out as soon as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you have the week off, right? Because you can't talk.
I wish it worked that way.
So does my wife. she can't handle these are the last 4 days coming up till Christmas break, holiday break for her high school students. They're not going to do anything Monday through Thursday. We record on Sunday. Sorry. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're not going to do shit. The students don't want to be there. Teachers don't want to be there. You know, everybody's like burned out at this point.
Yeah.
My wife's like, Monday's ugly sweater day, so I'm borrowing one of yours. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Oh.
Thanks a lot. Oh, gosh. We're being all jovial here. Let's chat about the Warlord's Ruin here. This is the brand new dungeon that came out in Season 23, Season of the Wish. It launched that Friday when the season started up. Mm-hmm. And it is a predominantly Scorn and Taken dungeon.
Yep.
Set in the EDZ. So my guess about it being in the Shattered Throne type area, the Dreaming City, was 100% accurate. Right?
we were both on that level. We were both right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, let's go back and forth, the Ascendant play and all this stuff. No. No, it takes place in a Dark Age Warlord's ruined castle in the EDZ up on top of the mountains. This is, for me, the closest I've ever seen Destiny get to, like, Dark Souls-looking designs.
Yeah, that's what I've heard a lot of people comparing it to, like, the areas, everything about it gives off like Dark Souls, Elden Ring kind of vibes. And
oh yeah, and it feels like you're actually doing a, you know, dungeon crawl through this old castle ruins. So, you know, in a year that we've had some really amazing D&D properties, especially like Baldur's Gate 3, Destiny dropping a first person dungeon crawler is amazing.
Yes, it's cool.
It starts off with you along the snowy mountains. You have Crow is your liaison. Petrovenge pops in too. There's a little bit of banter back and forth with them. The initial like trek along this almost minuscule goat path to get to where the bridge is to take you into the lowest level of the keep to start. That was interesting. I mean, that teeny little, I know there's like some jumping involved, but that you hit that, you're hugging the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
Why am the whole I hearing way through. An echo? I am hearing an echo. I'm hearing myself echoing.
I have no idea.
No, that's not good. That is a delay in the call.
That's fun.
Hang on.
Did it just start happening?
I only started noticing it about 30 seconds ago. I figured, all right, it might be a hiccup. It might clean up, but all right, now it's gone. I don't hear it. I'm checking out the ping rate and stuff. It may have just spiked up really high suddenly. I don't know. More of my melodious voice for people to hear. Yeah, you're hugging the side of the mountain, this very thin goat path. You get to this rickety old bridge going over this chasm and a bunch of Scorner running around on it to get into the beginnings of this ruins. And they did a wonderful job very quickly giving you an idea of what everything is going to entail from that moving forward in this dungeon. In that very quick opening section. Like, once you clear out the Scorn, you go under one of the portcullises that are half open. Directly ahead of you is a door with some sort of taken lock on it. You can't open it first. So you now know there's, like, locked doors throughout this thing. The room to the left, which is along the path forward, has a cage that you can get into and activate something. And if you're silly enough to do it, a bunch of spikes in the ceiling that if you're not looking up, pierce you and kill your guardian instantly while the cage door is closed and you can't get out. So that's a clue coming up. And unlike the prior dungeons, where you normally have this intro section to open everything up, once you leave that room, go down this very short hallway, walk out into this bright light, there's a boss waiting for you. One of Fickroll's minions, if I remember correctly. Boy, that was refreshing. That was refreshing. Having an actual boss fight instead of, like, Ghost of the Deep, where you're spending 15 minutes trying to just open everything up to get in.
Yeah, I appreciate, especially the early on. Like, yeah, it's more fun, I feel like, to go through that opening sequence than any of the maneuvering and jumping puzzle treks in Ghost of the Deep. I feel like Warlord's Ruin did that really well.
Oh, absolutely. It very, very well made. The boss fight includes cages that you get trapped into that are getting slowly drawn up into these spike devices that are going to impale and kill your guardian.
Yeah.
Get out of them by shooting a bunch of taken, what was it, little turrets?
Yeah, three little taken eyes.
Yep. And the mechanic is the Scorn boss, who is shielded, puts down totems, like, you know, Scorn chieftains do. They put down their totems, but these ones are taken totems. And I remember watching people just running around shooting at them, you know, trying to clear them that way. And I'm looking at the ground going, there's a big white circle around them. So you actually have to stand next to it for about a count of 10, and it clears the totem. And once the totem's cleared and it vanishes, DPS starts. And depending on how many totems you can clear, at least in the first encounter, you can have up to 2. Later encounters, a couple more than that, that are active. That's how much time you get. I think you get anywhere from 5 to 7 seconds with one and, like, maybe 10 to 12 on 2. And you DPS the hell out of this guy, then rinse and repeat. The whole time, more Scorner being teleported in. He's this big, slow dude walking the entirety of the small arena that you're in, which is on a cliff. So, with the back half of the arena, you could pretty much fall to your death off of. Or he can, like, you know, slam you off. But by the way, I've seen people doing the trick where if you have an enemy that can be finished directly in front of him by the pack, and you activate your finisher that can, like, knock something away, like, you know, the chair shot.
Yeah.
Knock that enemy. It'll actually knock him off the cliff.
Oh, really? I that makes sense. I haven't seen that, but that 100% makes sense.
It makes sense, but it shouldn't happen.
I agree, yeah.
It kills him instantly, which is hysterical. But another thing, if you're in the cage and you're on a Strand character that has grapple grenades, there's a little timer, like a wish timer, I think, till it goes up. Yeah, and that's how long the duration you have to cleanse the totems before they disappear on their own.
Mm-hmm.
At 14 seconds, if you cast your grapple grenade at the top of the cage, it prevents the spikes from killing you.
Oh, interesting.
And then this door pops open anyways, you can just jump out. Again, not supposed to happen, but it's just a weird interaction. I thought it was cool when, you know, the fight progressed, and it was pretty easy to pick up the fight, and I did appreciate that for a starting encounter. It wasn't sitting there scratching your head forever trying to figure out how to actually navigate it. It went pretty fast, I think, my first time going through it. We wiped once, and on the second attempt, we totally won. Just blew through it without too much problem. And if you're not paying attention, you'll miss what happens, and you'll be confused as to how you got teleported. If you are paying attention, you'll notice that this very unique-looking Taken Chimera, which are the Taken Meatball servers, after you defeat the boss, appears in the sky. And then you're teleported into a prison. Right to jail.
Right to jail.
Go to jail.
Parks and Rec.
Go to jail. You're in a jail cell, and that is an actual puzzle to get out. And I think you also saw some of this, like, on the Friday that this went live. There were streamers that were, like, stuck in that jail for extended periods.
Oh, yeah, for a long time.
Because they couldn't figure out how to get out of it. And, yeah, it's, I will admit, it's kind of tough if you don't know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Word of advice, if you have a gun, then when you ADS, it highlights enemies. It'll highlight things that are shootable in the room.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So if you have, let's say, Kallus's mini tool, and you ADS that, the things that you shoot will have a red outline on them. Yeah, so that way you can see it. You can even use Quicksilver Storm and get the same effect, just ADS down, right?
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil how to get out of the jail if you've never done this before. It's interesting. It takes a little bit of teamwork and coordination for a fire team of three. And what really pisses me off in the best possible way is that you're in a jail cell and your loot is in the outside of the jail.
Yeah, you need to get out of jail to actually get the encounter loot.
Yes. It's mocking you the whole time. And there's one Scorn in there, kind of like the jail warden.
Yeah.
He just, like, you shoot him through the bars really easily, but it's just really funny that you end up in jail. This Scorn comes, like, running around the hall, like, peeking around, and he starts going back and forth in front of the cages, like, taunting people.
Yeah.
Obviously, you break out of jail, and then you continue into the lower levels of the keep. And this is a maze that they stuck in there. And I know I did. because I wasn't paying attention to the walls. I saw the pits in the floor.
Yeah.
But I ran through something and sets of spikes popped out of the walls and killed me.
It's just a few traps.
Yeah, it's a trap-laden maze that has a bunch of those Scorn, Stasis Scorn.
Mm-hmm.
With the the sensors that they spin around and slam into the ground, so then it's like, you know, that the one cold snap grenade
mm-hmm.
effect. Yeah, they just keep spawning in nonstop. You have to work your way through the maze. There's more of the taken locked doors in the maze. I think a one with two locks on it, and then one with three locks on it.
Mm.
And when you finally make your way out of the maze, you're outside on another jumping puzzle, kind of along this broken bridge, and you're en route to the second encounter for the game, for the dungeon. I do want to mention something. There is a very large amount of fallen treasure chests in this dungeon from start to finish.
Yes.
Even one at the very beginning, when you're just starting off before you get to the bridge to cross in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just randomly run over and open it?
No. Okay, so, no, I did not.
So you knew better. if you stare at them long enough and not just go, oh, hey, it's a treasure chest, I'm going to open it. If you look at it long enough, once in a while, you'll see like blue ether coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be like this big red flag. There's something wrong with this chest.
Yeah.
Because if you open it, what happens? Like you get gassed and you end up on your hands and knees. And like four screebs teleport in and then jump on you and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing you up. So there's so many trapped treasure chests throughout this entire dungeon. It's silly. And randomly, some of them aren't trapped. So there's actual loot inside.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yes, I think it's really great.
I love it. Let's see. Go over the bridge. Back in the keep. Climbing up a little bit. You end up into this larger open area. This huge set of doors in the back of it. Like up against the keep wall itself. And there's a taken orb in the center of this arena. Just kind of hovering there. And when you shoot it, a gigantic taken ogre appears, and there's your second boss fight. You know, obviously, you're going to be doing the Scorn totems to cleanse things. This time, they'll generate orbs you dunk into torches, big, big, big torches around where the boss is roaming around. I did like the little change up that all of a sudden now there's an environmental hazard.
Once the mechanic actually starts, like once the two big taken Scorn baddies come out, you get that biting cold, and there's what I think five total. Like torches that you could stand next to get rid of that debuff.
Yep. And the debuff cleanses like in 2 seconds.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah, very fast, and that's appreciated. My first time through it, when we came up, we obviously the big flag for us is, oh, there's a taken orb sitting there. And fired one bullet at it, and it just took a little damage and didn't break it. It's like, okay, so this is what we have to shoot at.
Mm-hmm.
And one of us ran, and my fire team ran past one of the torches and went, wait a minute, I just see, come here. And it's like, oh, shelter from the storm. It's like, what's shelter? And we put it together. It's like, okay, that's from Deepstone Crypt, that mechanic.
Yeah.
And those were the, like, the domed areas in the intro when you're riding the sparrows.
Yeah.
The blizzard. So it's like, okay, so there's going to be some kind of blizzard effect. And lo and behold, there you go. And you have to get the Scorn chieftains to spawn in by popping all the taken eyes surrounding the ogre.
Yep.
You know, and cleanse everything up, dunk the things, and then you go round robin from bonfire to bonfire around the ogre doing damage, rinse and repeat. It's a pretty cool fight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite part of the fight is if you jump up in the air and you're on the wall in the back and the ogre sees you and it hits you with its eye beam, it sends you flying off the side of the mountain.
Have you go to space?
Well, you go down. You fall. You don't go to space. You don't go up. You go down. Gravity takes over at this point. And off the side of the mountain you go. And that was very funny, especially for the warlock on my party who has very slow jump and floats. It's like they were a freaking one of the ducks in the game Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like flying up, boom, booped off the side of the map, gone. Have to raise him up real quick. Ogre gets done. You're finally entering into the keep. Working your way up, more taken doors. Now you're starting to see more taken enemies appearing than just Scorn. And that taken meatball keeps showing up. Eventually you make it to the very top. It looks like there should have been a bigger castle here, but it's all been broken apart. Now parts of it are floating in the air. And in the center of this arena, which is multiple tiers going up, mind you, it's like four levels. There's a gigantic skeleton of an Ahamkara dragon rotating around and being held in place by this orb of taken power. And it's like, oh, so this is a Ahamkara meatball? Explains the look, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the final fight is just like everything you've done so far, plus one more mechanic where when you're cleansing the totems, there's now Scorn enemies that are flashing with the ones that run at you with the two torches, and you're infected with a virus and you have to play tag with them.
Oh, Jesus.
Hit them
yeah.
with melee and then get away from them, because if they hit you, it goes back and forth. And then when the wish timer runs out and the totems disappear, they will all perish. And then you can DPS the boss. And the boss has different health gates to make before it goes from each different zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth zone, you can just like do a lot more damage. And then there's the final stand, which takes you up to the top of the tower, and there's like no cover, and you just have to kill it as fast as possible and just be done with it. And everything is awesome and happy and fun. And then you realize that that's just the first step in this dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
If you picked up the quest from my core, you can see it's like step 1 of 9.
Yeah.
And now you're going to do multiple playthroughs to collect the other Ahamkara bones, because you get one out of the chest. You have to search the chest after you beat the final boss. Like, actually go up and interact near it, and you'll get one. And there's like a total of a bunch of bones in there. So there's more lore entries for each one. There's the exotic weapon.
Yeah.
It is a void exotic sidearm, not hand cannon.
sidearm crossbow kind of thing.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yes. It is a crossbow. It's a Scorn crossbow, in fact. And it is called Buried Bloodline. It fires like two bolts out of it that kind of intertwine around. And I don't have it yet.
I don't either.
One person in my clan currently has it. And they like it. And apparently killing with it will give, will heal on kills. And if you get the catalyst to it, which in itself is an adventure through the dungeon, solving puzzles and eventually fighting a secret boss in a secret room, multi-kills will, with that thing, rapid fire, rapid kills will give you devour. Imagine having a gun that gives you devour
for free
on any class. With any subclass. That's it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's a really, really nice looking design for this weapon. It's very, very thin. It has that old medieval feel and look to it. And I really, really, really want to get my hands on it.
Same. It's one that I actually will probably run until I get on, like, the navigator for myself.
Well, speaking of the navigator, while you brought that up, because this does involve the Warlord's Ruin dungeon, that video I shared with you, Zemo's speed run. What was it, under 12 minutes?
I think it was under 11. It was like 10:40 something.
It was something crazy. I got a Discord here. 10 minutes and 48 seconds from start to finish of the dungeon. And the combination he was using was the navigator to set up a tether point, and then he was using grapple grenades and Worm God's Caress gauntlets for the Titan. And he was just punching the shit out of everything till it died. And the damage just kept increasing over and over again. It's like everything he did is like he one-phased the first boss. He killed the Taken Ogre in two of the four fire pits. And then he just like in two floors of the final boss murdered it and sent it to Final Stand. I just could not believe the skill behind it. And I'm sitting there going, one of the key components to that, other than being on a Strand Titan with Worm God's Caress, was you needed to have the navigator. And it's something I absolutely do not have. I don't have the skill either. There's no way in hell my old ass is going to be able to pull off that on a PS5 controller. There's zero way that's going
to happen. A lot of that is tied to, obviously, skill for one, but I don't know. It also requires, you know, like a 1-2 punch shotgun, and like the navigator is good because you can have infinite grapples as long as you're on a grapple point.
And he was also skipping areas with the navigator and throwing a strand tangle and then like grappling onto it and like completely bypassing in total giant chunks of the dungeon. It was wild to watch. I'll link it in the description to this so you can all check it out yourselves. Thinking about the navigator, it's like, oh, I don't have that. And I'm much like you. Even getting the checkpoint for the final boss and Ghost of the Deep, it's a slog. It's like a 20-minute slog to kill it.
Yeah. I like the dungeon, but I don't like the time commitment required for that. So,
I went back through the dungeon, and while I appreciate it, and I like the difference to it, and I thought it was kind of neat doing the out of the base under the sea sections where you're moving slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to it so many months later, I'm like, wow, this thing just takes forever to get through.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a shame that it just becomes, oh, we got to go through this dungeon. Let me just grab a checkpoint for the last boss and just cut it down. So we're just doing that. You know. But yeah, like you, I want this. I want this crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't actually gotten any clears this week, which is disappointing for me. So I may try out the group finder, in-game group finder, and see if I can find some people to do it with.
No, that's I've run it 4 or 5 times, and that's how I've gotten every one of my clears.
Yeah. The only time I started doing it this week is we were trying, it was like myself and two of my clanmates, we were trying to do an all void run. We got to the last boss and it was just so late. Mm-hmm. And we wiped again. And I was like, I can't do this any longer. I'm tired. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I have to be up at 5 something in the morning. It's like, I can't do this any longer. And we haven't been able to reschedule to finish it off. I literally have a checkpoint for the final encounter on my hunter right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, just need two other people. I don't even care if it's an all void run or not at this point. I just want it done and then do it on my others. A question for you, though, is after playing through this dungeon, I mean, considering like Ghost of the Deep, since that was the most close in proximity to Warlord's Ruin, would you consider running this dungeon solo for a solo completion?
Yes.
Me too.
And it's something that is obviously going to require some time because, you know, for the damage phases, you have some pretty tight windows like we talked about. But yeah, I think this is the first dungeon, probably honestly since like Shattered Throne, that it's like, yeah, I kind of want to solo this.
It's the first dungeon for me since Grasp of Avarice that I've been really gung-ho about doing. You know, really. I mean, it's like, no, I want to solo this dungeon this season. It's not like we don't have a lot of time. You know, we have a lot of time to practice on it and stuff, but I have
this
very good feeling that with what I want to do to get through it, I'm going to get through it. And it's a Strand Titan build. I was running around with some of my clanmates doing a Titan on my third run like about 2 weeks ago. Mm. And Strand Titan with Precious Scars helmet on. And I was basically unkillable unless I missed a jump. I mean that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, no,
die.
Precious Scars is, it's really good now. And it's been, when I've been running stuff that I need, like survivability, that's been my exotic that I've been running.
Yeah, between that it's, and Banner of War going off too, it's like, I'm in your face. It doesn't matter. I'm getting in there. I'm beating the hell out of things. Swords, you know, just having a good old time. I know for the final boss, I won't be using a sword.
No.
I actually
you can't use it melee anything with that boss.
Well, unless you're in this face with the navigator, mind you, but that's about it. I have a laser painter linear fusion rifle from Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a Strand weapon, which kills with this, you know, it's like, oh, if I need to pop off and kill like a thing to keep my Banner of War going at a high rate, I just like fire a shot and kill it, and you know, it's still a Strand thing, plus I'm getting health back on it from the helmet.
Yep.
It's got like clown cartridge and Vorpal on it, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
So get a whole bunch of shots in with linear fusion, move on, and just take your time.
Yeah.
The final encounter is just going to be, I'm going to take my time, not worry about it, type deal.
I mean, especially the final stand is interesting because, like, it's a final stand, but it's as long as you need it to be.
All the boss fights are as long as you need it to be.
When you get to final stand for the final boss, though, like, you don't have a certain time that you need to kill the boss.
Yeah.
You have unlimited time, so.
Yeah. And so you could just keep going. And, for anybody who uses effects like Scorch, or, you know, when things explode from Scorch, or destabilizing rounds, things like that. Those taken eyes count as enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just keep racking up things with them and keep them under control, but also those class verbs are triggers for builds. So that's kind of how you can keep going with it.
Yeah.
But I was, the Strand Titan came about because I was like, all right, let's just play it. I don't feel like playing any other class right now. Banner War got altered from last season. One of the things was, we don't know how strong it is, and apparently it's still very strong.
Yeah, still quite strong. I actually used that for the very first time this week, because I just, for whatever reason, just stopped using Strand Titan. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It is still very strong.
The Solar Titan is really good this season too. Pyro Gale Gauntlet Solar Titan is ridiculous on the first two bosses.
Mm-hmm.
But what sold me almost on the Strand Titan idea was when I was going through it, and I obviously had a Precious Scars ready to go. I was going through my inventory and to see what kind of weapons I could bring along with it. It's like, all right, so Strand stuff, I'll go into the main slot. I want something that can hit hard in it. And I found a World Drops Nox Perennial 5, which is the Strand Fusion Rifle World Drop.
Mm-hmm.
It's the high impact frame, so it's a very slow rate of fire.
Yeah.
That rolled naturally with Envious Assassin and Controlled Burst.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I just threw it in my inventory because it was like one of the only ones I had. So it's like, maybe I'll mess around with it. And then after seeing what Controlled Burst can do and Envious Assassin, it's like, oh, God. This thing only fires 5 bolts.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily hit all 5 bolts on most of these bosses.
And then
Controlled Burst starts ramping up the speed of every other shot after that. And Envious Assassin, I can overflow the magazine. Ooh. Yeah.
I haven't gotten that roll on the new one, but I do still have that from the Aramite from last season.
The Aramite was craftable. You could do that.
Yeah.
So if you don't actually have an Envious Assassin roll like that, just, you know, get the Aramite from last season and craft it up, and you can have one. And even that one, as it's ramping up and it's firing faster and faster and faster, and you've been mm-hmm. killing lots of things with other weapons prior to equipping the Aramite, man, you get so many shots with that thing. And on an all-solar build, with how easy it is with the, the seasonal artifact mods.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that allows a weakening effect to be put on if you get precision hits while you're in a solar class.
Yeah.
and it's so quick to weaken a target and then just use a fusion like that to maul the target to death. Even go into your inventory and find if you have an old Cartesian coordinate with Vorpal weapon on it. And under pressure, that thing will just shred through things.
Mm-hmm.
On a solar build, it's fun. You can find some really good stuff in there. When you're thinking of finally making your attempts for a solo run, now I'm just going for a solo completion. I'm not really worried about the solo flawless.
I'm not either. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. Or you're mostly a Titan main, but what are you thinking you're leaning towards to practice on to try to work at?
I'll probably do solar the whole way through. I like running my Abyss Defiant from Curve's End, and I got mm-hmm. that crafted with Reconstruction Incandescent, so it'll help with like the eyes at the end, and it's something I can get kills right. with to proc like Precious Scars.
Mm-hmm.
And I will most likely use like Dragon's Breath through the entire thing also.
Oh yes.
I know I gotta be a little careful on the I guess honestly the first and the second boss because you can kill yourself with it, you know. That's gonna be the main part of the build. I know it's fairly basic, but
well, basic's good.
Basic probably do that. It's
not like hard mechanics that could screw you up if you miss time things.
Yeah, and since I'm not going for flawless, I also am gonna like not run a sword for the first boss so that I don't end up wiping a whole bunch there. It's just fun. It's kind of neat for me to like have this want to solo the dungeon because I've the only dungeon I've ever soloed has been Shattered Throne. So, the idea of wanting to run a solo is pretty cool for me, so.
Oh, yeah. I actually thought you ran more solo dungeons than that, though. It must be a mistake on my part. Wow.
Yeah, there was a couple of times I think I wanted to try them, and it was something we probably actually talked about, like, on the show, but it was just not something that I ever ended up doing, because I was losing interest in certain aspects of things, so it's just like, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't care. It is what it is, but...
If you ever feel up to it, I can highly recommend going and doing Prophecy as a solo run.
Sure.
The hardest thing is just the first boss.
Yeah, because that space is... Yeah, you can get booped. It's not really a huge arena. I think Prophecy is one that I was actually wanting to, and then I just never did.
Yeah,
Prophecy is still a good dungeon. That still holds up.
Yeah, it does. And once you get past that first boss, everything else just kind of falls into place, at least with my experience doing it. Like, mm-hmm. I was one night just practicing doing Prophecy solo. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm finally going to give it a shot and see what I can do. I think I actually did it on a Titan as well. It was a Lorelei Splendor Titan at the time. It was before they nerfed Lorelei Splendor. And it took me about 2-3 attempts on that first boss. And once I got past it, I'm like, all right, mm-hmm. this is good. Let's just keep going, see how I'm feeling. And then an hour later, I finished the whole thing. I was shocked. That it's like we had so much experience running it, we knew how the entire dungeon functioned and the other encounters, and it just came very, very easily to get through it. Yeah, so I'd recommend doing a solo. I have not a solo flawless. I did die. It was just a solo run, but you actually get the that little ghost shell with the rabbit ears, and I think that's one of the best little cosmetic rewards in Destiny that you can earn. It's a very cool looking ghost shell.
I forgot that there was other cosmetics for Prophecy like that.
Yeah. Prophecy was the one that you, me, and Bacon did flawlessly, the three of us together in a fire team. So we all got our sparrows, because the sparrow was the flawless reward. If you do it solo, you get the ghost shell, and obviously if you do a solo flawless, you get the emblem. I'm actually thinking of going back into Prophecy on that Strand Titan and giving it a old college try.
For yeah.
Solo flawless. Just take the Rainbow Road very slowly.
yeah, absolutely.
It's that.
It's the only way. It's the only way to do that.
Yes. God, what other ones have I done solo? Obviously, Shattered Throne, I've done that. I've done Pit of Heresy. Oh, I didn't like that.
But did that you solo Flawless Pit of Heresy or no?
No, just soloed it. I did not solo Flawless Pit of Heresy. I probably could at this point because of all the different builds that you can do and survivability. But when I ran it, the Pit of Agony was... or the Chamber of Agony, whatever it was, where you had to use the plate in the center and dunk the orbs and all that. It was just such a pain in the ass to do.
Yeah, I think that room was the reason that I didn't actually get a solo finish on Pit of Heresy. Yeah.
I had to do it on a Void Hunter, a Night Stalker, that could just pretty much go invisible constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when you were able to duplicate the ball.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's been fully patched out now.
Totally patched out, but by the same token, I'm sitting there going, I wouldn't even do it on a Void Hunter now. I would do it on something else, and most likely it'd be solar, and I would just fire like one freaking round from Dragon's Breath into the center of the arena and let it just pretty much kill every ad coming at you.
Yeah. I feel like now that room could actually have a little bit of easier survivability time with the Precious Scars Titan.
Oh God, yes. Oh, hell yes. And Precious Scars works with anything, so if you even wanted to and you were like, well, I need to, like, you know, hunker down here, I'm going to stay on this plate for a few seconds, and you throw a bubble on top of it as a Void Titan with Precious Scars. It's like anything runs in there, you just like plink it out with like a Void weapon, and you're constantly healing, and you have an overshield that's not going away, and you're just murdering everything in your path. I mean, you could have a lot of fun now, I think, in it. Those freaking ogres in the tunnels beforehand are a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's that. But past that, it's like, that run for the solo, because I wanted the emblem, the title for Shadowkeep, which was Harbinger, and you had to get a solo clear of the dungeon to get it. That was one of the requirements, and I remember just like making an attempt one night. I started at like 7 p.m. Eastern, and I was in that stupid chamber of pain till like almost 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And then I beat it. And then I just kind of breezed through the next two areas and got to Crispy Crota, and I finished everything around 2 in the morning, because Crispy Crota took a while. But this is back in the day where the Mountaintop and the Recluse were at full power.
Oh, gosh.
It gives you that, you know, this is when Shadowkeep was out, so that's how long ago it was. So I bet it would be much different now. Yeah, because my loadout was Mountaintop, Recluse, and Anarchy.
Good old Anarchy. Oh, man.
Take yeah, where back. Anarchy also did a lot more damage, and it was ticking hard. You basically jumped onto the big crystal in the center of Crispy Crota's arena and skirted around so he couldn't get you, and the exploding thralls on the ground couldn't attack you either. Mm-hmm. And you just tagged him with Anarchy shots and occasionally shot him with other things. And then when he went into his, I'm going to nuke the arena, you just got out and then reset the damage phase and just did it again. And just, like, brought him down with Anarchy. It was just random shit that would kill you. That was it.
Yeah.
What other ones I've done? I've done those four. Because Grasp of Avarice came after Prophecy. After that, I have not actually soloed a dungeon. I've never soloed Duality.
No.
I've never soloed Spire of the Watcher. I've solo Flawless, Ghost of the Deep, right? Right? That's what we're
absolutely, talking. Yeah. You absolutely. Show off that emblem all the time, yeah.
That's right. There's no fucking way in hell I'm doing that one.
And I, you know, now that we're talking about it, I wonder if I did actually get a solo flaw or a solo run because I have the Harbinger title.
Yeah, that means you've gotten a solo run.
I don't remember doing that.
There was a time, though, where you could grab the checkpoint for Crispy Crota.
Yeah.
And get it would count as a flawless, a solo run. If that got patched out. Mm-hmm. So maybe you did it then. Who knows? Who knows? But there was also a time where you got Crispy Crota's thing and it counted as solo flawless.
Oh.
There were people that had solo flawless emblems for that never actually did it. Just they got it for the final encounter and then beat Crota. Crispy Crota. I don't remember his name. So it was like Zolmac or something.
Yeah.
And it counted as a flawless solo run.
Pen of Heresy was a good dungeon too.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. I like that it was constantly going down. I thought that mm-hmm. was kind of nice about it. It really felt like you were descending deeper and deeper into, well, hell.
Yeah.
and hell was a hive filled moon, and it worked well. The other one I might try, just out of spite more than anything else, just for the solo for it, because I wouldn't mind having the title is Spire of the Watcher, because the title is Wanted.
Oh yeah,
and it's just kind of a cool title. I tried Spire of the Watcher solo. I got all the way to the top of the tower where you had to fight the basically the boss from
Garden
of Salvation, and after like 7 damage attempts on it, and I barely got like a quarter of his health off, I ended up getting knocked off the edge. I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people would do this much damage. It had so much health. And I was just like, I, the fuck.
It really does. Yeah.
They all do. But that and the final boss just have so much health. It's just silly. And the final boss has the inherent protections that a Vex Harpy or a Vex Wyvern
has. Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to be doing there. Just take my time, I guess. Hit it with a Dragon's Breath and run away.
Yeah.
Be the only option.
Pretty much what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to. But we have a long season, so I actually am kind of in my head planning to do like a couple of dungeon runs for solo runs, but I might do the solo flawless on Prophecy finally.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I'll do that on a Pit of Heresy because I really just don't want to go back in there again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ghost of the Deep. I will never do Ghost of the Deep. unless I can absolutely, they have another craftening happen.
Yeah.
And we can craft weapons that just like nuke things in like one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just zero way I want to do Ghost of the Deep otherwise. And I know people that did the flawless Ghost of the Deep because of the craftening.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
That was that would have been the time to do it for sure.
Yeah, they did it. They had the Amit with the slug shotgun damage on, you know, and it was they tore through it very, very quickly. And I'm envious that they did it. And they're like, well, how can you couldn't do it? And Outrider, I was like, because I'm on a console. And they go, oh, we're sorry. It was very hard to do that trick.
Yeah.
On a console. It was easier to do it on a PC where you could drop your frame rate down really low and get it to mix and match things more easily.
Yeah.
Damn it. Happening. Hate that I was there that weekend and I couldn't take part of it.
I just wanted to be involved.
I just wanted to be God. Come on. Yeah. Now, Warlord's Ruin, excellent, excellent, excellent dungeon. I think it gives us, both of us, the big seal of approval. Kudos to the devs for coming up with this and really putting out something special.
Yeah, they did. They did a good job with this. And
absolute bang up job with this.
Just we really didn't like
talk about the loot. We didn't even talk about the loot.
No, I guess we did, didn't we?
No, we talked about the exotic, which is awesome. And the loot itself is like, it's okay.
Yeah.
The rocket sidearm being in this dungeon was an interesting choice, though.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I haven't used the bow from the dungeon, and I have. All right, so there's four weapons that you get out of the dungeon. The sidearm, that is an arc sidearm that fires rockets out of it.
Yeah.
A sword, a strand sword, one of those curved swords, so it's a caster frame. A strand bow and a sniper rifle. Also strand. A lot of strand in that dungeon.
Yeah.
I've used the sword, which is okay. It works pretty well. And the sidearm. Sidearm's fun. I have one with the tracer rounds and bolt shot.
Yeah, I got bolt shot and I think impulse amplifier.
Oh, that's good too. It makes those rounds fire quicker, travel faster.
I think the only thing that I've noticed about it that I don't like specifically for this season is it doesn't actually work with the barrier sidearm.
I haven't tried it with that.
I mean, unless something's been fixed since the last time I tried to use it on a barrier or something, but yeah, I get immunes when I shoot through any barrier or anything, so.
It could be because it's a rocket, not a bullet. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
I did notice that when you have the Scorn with those little buckler shields, you know, that are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, tank shots until you shoot him in the foot. No, you shoot him directly dead on with the sidearm, and the blast of it damages them.
Yeah.
So that is actually nice. The tracer rounds are fun. That mm-hmm. you can roll in the third column, and it procs on a reload of a kill. So if you have that and bolt shot on the same gun, that's fun.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good gun.
Oh, yeah. It's very good. It's fun. It's fun. I wish some of the other weapons were a little bit better, but maybe there's just combinations that aren't readily apparent at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone on about the dungeon and dungeon stuff now for over an hour.
Wow.
And it's been nice.
Yeah, it has been nice.
Yeah. So there's your Christmas gift, folks. Your holiday present. No drama.
No just drama today.
Just good things. And this was a very good thing. So if you haven't had opportunity to do it, get your buddies, go run Warlord's Ruin, or jump onto the new group finder that's in-game. That's now totally live.
Yeah, apparently fully live.
The beta tests and stuff worked really well.
Like I said, I've used it for every single clear that I've done, and like I watched videos and stuff, so I did it without mics, and it's been pretty good.
Good. All right. Well, next week we're not gonna do anything because it's Christmas weekend.
Christmas weekend.
So it's holiday weekend. Maybe the weekend after we'll get something recorded before New Year's. That one comes out right after New Year's. And we'll kind of go from there.
Yep.
On to season 4 of this podcast.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you as always. Swing on past Spotify for podcasts if you're listening on some other platform, and give us a like there if you like what you hear. We'd love to see some interaction, and we love having people get in there and join the conversation. You know, we do have our link tree there, so you can reach out to us by email, but we also generally have a poll or a question up on Spotify that you can jump in on too. We'll be away for a week due to the holiday, and we should be back after that going into 2024. It only feels like yesterday. It was 2019, and then we blinked.
Oh, Jesus.
And we're all old.
You went back a lot further than I thought you were going to.
Dude, the last time I felt normal was 2019, okay?
That's fair. COVID times are definitely different times.
That wiped out a lot of normalcy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get in there. We'll do some other stuff. I'm sure we're going to get some interesting things as gifts over the holidays, possibly. And next time we get back, I got to talk about fucking Power Wash Simulator. I have to.
I got that. No, because that's free this month on PlayStation, right?
Yes, yes. All right. So if you have PS Plus on any level, even the basic one, grab Power Wash Simulator before December is up. Grab it. Put it in your library so you can play it. It is. You're sitting there going, it's power washing. How entertaining can it be? And when you start going through the campaign, it has a campaign. And you're like, well, you know, I do somebody's backyard, okay? So I power wash a bungalow. That's great. Start paying attention to the in-game text messages you get on your screen from people.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at some of the weirder locations that start appearing out of nowhere. Like, early on, you end up being sent to Martha Hubbard's house. Martha Hubbard lives in a giant shoe. You know, old Mother Hubbard, who lives in a shoe, had so many children, she didn't know what to do. That lady? How is that a thing? There's other weird stuff in it. I just kind of chalked it up to this game being silly. Until I reached a certain point in the game where I was paying attention, and I realized Power Wash Simulator has a fucking story behind it. There's an actual goddamn story in this game.
That's wild.
I could not believe it. It's. We'll talk in the new year about Power Wash Simulator. It's worth playing. Grab it if you have PlayStation Plus for free. Put it in your library. Get ready to run it. enjoy it. It's a trip. In the meantime, happy holidays, everybody. Be well. Be good to each other at this time of the year. And maybe some of those good vibes will transfer into next year, and it won't be as much as a shit show that this year was. Wait a minute. 2024 is an election year, isn't it?
There is.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It's going to be a shit show. Oh, God. On that note, be well, take care, and bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
It's going to be a shit show. Oh, God.